I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
I'm going to give the audience what I think they want.
They want chase scenes and car crashes.
They want the cops to bend the rules to get the job done. They want the boy to get the girl. They want the good guy to win. They want the bad guy to die, hopefully in the biggest explosion the budget will allow. But most importantly, Senator, they want to walk into a theater and for 90 minutes forget the fucking mess that you have left of this nation.
Go get your bubble gum.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hello, and welcome to All Out of Bubblegum, the podcast, the best of the best podcast, with me, Stein, on the MIC. With me today, we have the best commando from the Netherlands. Oh, fuck, I fucked that up. It's the Netherlands' best commando and father, Marty.
Hello.
And I don't know. I didn't write down any of these for all of you. So. from America, Bruce, USA.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Brandon. We got Brandon.
Yeah. Podcast! Yes.
You doing?
I'm doing fine, yes.
And back yet again, basically replacing Brenton at this point. new fourth mic. And I'm blanking on your name. For fuck's sake.
Alberto.
You know, it's Alberto. You can just call the Al.
It's the first time we're on a recording together, so I literally... forgetting your name. Such a great job.
Yeah, usually Alberto is replacing you.
Yes. And so, yeah, we're doing my favorite episode of the year again. An episode where I get to talk about regional blaxploitation. This time, we're going to Wakalinga, the suburb of Uganda's capital, Kampala, where we find Wakaliwood, self-named. It's not really yet. So it's self-named, but I was gonna say is the heart of the Ugandan film industry. I'm not sure, but also, have anyone else seen any other movies from Uganda? Surely they're making movies elsewhere. They're not. This isn't all the movies coming out of Uganda. No.
I don't know. I think this might be it.
Certainly the most.
At least significantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel like surely they have like a serious film industry too. Maybe. I don't know. There is apparently something called Yuga Wood, which is the.
You got the, wood?
The other film industry of Uganda. But we didn't watch any movies from Yuga Wood. We only watched movies from Wakaliwood. But it's weird to call that like the Wakaliwood, the film industry of the country, given that it's mostly one guy.
Yes.
Nabwana IGG or Isaac Nabwava, which I guess is his real name. Who's just made a bunch of movies and three of them escaped Uganda so far. Yeah, because I mean, last year we talked about the South African movies, which was more of a whole industry thing wide, and this is one guy who, according to himself, said this is the start of the 2012 documentary about this. He said something like, oh yeah, the Chinese have all the movies and America have all the movies and we have nothing, and so I want to make movies. And so he made movies.
Well, definitely did.
Yeah, I just looked at the Cinema of Uganda page. And he's like one out of four filmmakers listed. And he has like the first ever narrative feature listed. Everything else is like a documentary before Who Killed Captain Alex.
Damn.
So, yeah, he's a trailblazer within Uganda.
Yeah, well, I mean, fair enough. I mean, Uganda had a rough time of it. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
No films under ID.
The same documentary. He talks about how very few people have DVD players. Electricity is unreliable. He's never been to a cinema himself. So, you know, a movie industry would have some problems over there.
Yeah, it's very poverty stricken, and yeah, the reality is like it's a miracle. Like he even got as like
do,
many
they do
of
love
these
a
films
civil
made
war over there. So,
I mean, they had a space program at one point under Idi Amin, but they didn't have any movies.
Oh yeah,
wrong priority.
I think there is a Idi Amin. Didn't he like have a documentary commissioned about himself?
Ah, wouldn't surprise
yeah.
me.
And then, yeah, I have the Criterion Blu-ray of it. I haven't watched it.
Oh, you have it? Okay. The Idi Amin.
Yeah, like the
autobiography.
The actual Idi Amin the documentary is kind of famous.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it made him look good or what.
I don't know if that's possible.
General Idi Amin Dada, a self-portrait. It's directed by Barbet Schroeder, actually, which is kind
oh
of
shit.
Yeah.
No, that was there was some TV movies about him, right? And then he cursed the actors who starred in them.
as he probably would.
Curse them, maybe eat them.
No, we talked about this last year, I think. Because the guy who was in Cotton Comes to Harlem, he died while playing Idi Amin in a movie, I think.
Oh. Ooh.
Yes. Raymond Saint-Jacques, was that him?
No, I think it was it not the other one. Raymond Saint-Jacques is the handsome one of them. It's the small fat guy.
Godfrey
Cambridge, yeah. Raymond Saint-Jacques is the handsome one. He did not play Idi Amin.
I didn't mean wish.
He was a lot of things. Idi Amin was a lot of things, but he was not a good-looking man.
Slightly tubbier.
Yeah, it was Godfrey Cambridge, I think. He was in the middle of playing Idi Amin when he passed away. And then I had to be replaced in that movie, I think, because he wasn't finished shooting it. Mm-hmm. And that was Idi Amin. It put a curse on him. And it worked. Oh, right, no. Oh, right. He said afterwards that it was punishment from God for trying to play Idi Amin. Yeah. Back to Wakaliwood. Or Uganda, I guess. So, yeah, it's called Ramon Film Productions, his company. IGG's company.
Yeah, he named them after his grandmother's Rachel and Mom.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's actually some pretty eye-opening stuff in the 2012 documentary. Because he talks about his parents and his grandfather. Because, I don't know if you guys knew this, but his grandfather was a bigamist. Is that how you say it?
A bigamist.
And he basically abandoned Nebwana. With his grandmother, well, his mother abandoned him because she already had children. And, you know, the father was out of the picture. So he was raised pretty much just by his grandmother.
Oh.
So, you know.
All right.
That's why.
Well, I mean, Idi Amin was also a bigamist, so.
It was the style at the time.
I think Idi Amin had like 6 wives.
Yeah, but he pretty much said like, yeah, I don't really talk to them.
Fair.
I know that he grew up during the Civil War that took place after Idi Amin got taken out of power.
Okay.
And it was like really he was like it was even worse than when he was ruling.
Oh, really?
Yeah, cuz helicopters would be like chasing him and his brother, and there was like so much death that he witnessed. Like, you'd see kids just laying dead in the street, you know, seeing pregnant kids and everything like that. It was pretty traumatic stuff that he saw. And you know, he said he wanted to make like a movie about that, but you know, he likes making movies that are, you know, for that make people happy.
Okay.
You know, he wants to make entertaining movies. You know,
he was making like, he should be making just like Come and See.
Yeah,
Ugandan Come and See. Yes.
Yeah, Ugandan. Yeah. Oh God. Just trying to imagine Vijay Emmy trying to like, okay, Mamma Mia, oh my God. Tried to like come up with jokes for this grim portrait of like 80s Uganda. That'd be something.
Yeah, but, so he started this in 2005 while studying computer courses. Ooh. And I no overview of how many movies he made prior to Who Killed Captain Alex. The only one that's really known is one called the one where, well, he keeps teasing it, the VJ all the time, Tibat Tuas Sasula, I think, which is an acknowledged lost film that the hard drive it was on got fried in a power surge, and so fuck that movie, I guess.
He did a movie called Ikisha Butwa and Valentine Satanic Day just before Captain Alex.
Yeah, I forgot. There's footage of one of them in the documentary.
Yeah, Satanic Day is the one that has footage in there.
But just some of the trademark, not impressive special effects. Maybe impressive for if he was making them on like his laptop in 2006 or whatever. Maybe it was.
I think that brings us to the crown jewel of Wakaliwood. Who killed Captain Alex?
Yeah, the definite breakthrough, or not even really a breakthrough, like the one that escaped by accident.
Yeah, the trailer just became viral on YouTube.
Yeah, and the way they do this, like they make these movies and then they basically make bootleg DVDs of them themselves, and then they go and sell them door to door. And then, yeah, people kind of, I don't know, gather at a place and watch them.
Yeah,
because they don't, not everyone speaks English, that's why they have these VJs. Like, so when they buy a bootleg of whatever movie, and they gather together in a local building and to see it, and nobody, half the people don't understand the language. There's a guy in the back of the room making jokes over the movie so you can still be entertained.
In the 2012 documentary called Wakaliwood, they kind of like just show this very frank depiction of them going around sort of like just selling these DVDs, you know, really hustling, you know. They're just like, you know, these are good movies. You will not regret buying them. And then one guy's just like, I don't know, man. This kind of looks like it might be bad. Like, I'm telling you right now, this is good. I'm in the movie.
Oh, it's got to be good. It's got to be good.
Yeah, don't they send the actors out to sell
DVDs? Yeah, they do.
And they get a percentage of the sales?
Yeah, because the actors are doing it for the love of the game, because this is like, there's like no industry there. Like, they're on the ground floor.
Yeah, nobody's getting paid. I think Isaac himself makes barely enough money to just keep going. And he also has to work as like a videoing weddings and doing commercials and video clips, music videos.
Yeah, the estimated average budget for a Wak Hollywood production is $200 US.
Which is insane.
Yeah, and following, well, like after Who Killed Captain Alex went viral, they put up a Kickstarter to raise $160 for their next movie. And they raised $13,000 instead. So oh, they could have made, I don't know, like 70 movies. Yeah, but then, Who Killed Captain Alex? Yeah, it went viral, I guess. I don't know. You remember where you were when Who Killed Captain Alex went viral?
I remember the like memes. I was
behind the tent when
Do you know the way?
It was me.
I don't remember. It was the trailer that went viral or what? It's so long ago. I remember seeing the clips. But it was also like at this point, because that raised interest in the movie. Like the trailer went viral and people were like, oh, I want to watch this. And at this point, like Isaac Nabvana didn't even have the movie anymore. He deleted it off his computer so he could work on his next movie. Because he basically worked one movie at a time and then deleted whatever else.
Oh.
But someone was able to score like one of the DVDs that they had sold around. And that's like the only reason people know this now. Like if they hadn't sold enough DVDs, nobody would ever have seen this movie. It would have been lost like all their other movies.
No. It was exactly like Nosferatu.
It's just... Yeah, exactly.
Identical films.
Because it's estimated that they've made over 50 movies. And at best, you can watch like 5 of them. And we watched 3 of them because 2 of them are not possible to see? Question mark. Supposedly, you can buy the DVD. Alberto, have tried? You tried? And
yeah, I tried 5 years ago. 5 years ago, still haven't gotten it. I bought The Ivory Trap and Crazy World. Although Crazy World was like a pre-order, I think. So I don't know, maybe that's why it didn't come. But, I mean, there's a lot of elements that could possibly explain it. I mean, they had like a drought in 2020. I mean, like a typhoon. In 2020,
the opposite of a drought.
And COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just completely like, my brain is like fried. But, yeah, they had like a typhoon and COVID really hit them hard. So.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold a grudge. I forgive Nabuana.
They're also operating out of a clay hut. So, you know.
I mean, it's the ghetto. Yeah. even they admit it.
Yeah.
They're loud and proud.
Mm-hmm. Wakaliga is a slum suburb, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's two movies, Capitano and Ivory Trap, which are supposedly have at some point been available to buy. They say now it ships from the U.S. Did it say that when you tried to buy it 5 years ago, or were they trying to ship it from Uganda back then?
What I know, I don't remember.
Maybe U.S. is short for Uganda suburb.
Now that would be something. I mean, It's possible that, you know, if you buy it now, you know, if I buy it now, it might come this time.
Because it says same DVD as sold in Wakaliga, but ships from the U.S. PAL format only, but will play on computers. If this is a gift for Christmas, Let us know when we can personalize.
Yeah.
It costs $10, so it's worth another shot.
Yeah, I might do it when I'm no longer unemployed.
Join the Patreon so Alberto can buy the DVD of Ivory Trap. Again.
We will fund. That's what we're gonna fund. The Patreon money is going to try and buy. Because there's some other, like, many of them have ratings on IMDb, but how much of that is just for the meme? Question mark. Like the 9.4 rating of The Return of Uncle Benin, which is promised to us in several of the movies we watched. We are promised that we can soon see the film The Return of Uncle Benin, which is one hell of a title. We all know and love Uncle Benin.
Yeah, he's been well established in Bad Black and Crazy World.
Is he even mentioned in Who Killed Captain Alex? I don't remember. Yeah. I just remember at one point they says Captain Uncle Benin. Oops, wrong movie. And I don't remember if that dates all the way back to the first one.
Yeah, I don't know.
Apparently, it was supposed to screen in Cannes in 2021, according to Crazy World. But apparently, it was also released in 2011. So little is known about this stuff.
That was the international release.
I mean, it's the same with Crazy World, which is listed as 2014, 2019. It played TIFF in 2020, I think. I don't even remember. I think it
premiered online on like some film festival thing in 2019. I don't even remember. My mind is like, yeah, TIFF 2019. That was when.
Was it TIFF 2019? I know I played Midnight Madness at TIFF, but I thought it was the COVID year because I think it was possible to watch it online, and that's why it's sort of people can watch it now in a way. It's why it's been made possible for pirating. We watched it on YouTube. Someone just posted it on YouTube, but
yeah, the not Ebola the official Wakali Wood channel.
The Tiger Mafia is gonna...
No, but the Once Upon a Time in Uganda doc has footage at the end of the movie playing.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Film Festival.
Probably 2019.
And that documentary came out in 2019?
No, later.
Yeah, 2023. Okay. But it could be.
I don't think they mention a year though.
Yeah, that made the documentary a little confusing. They never like stated what year it was during certain parts. I was just like, okay, where is this chronologically speaking?
There is no time. I know time 4 years.
Yeah, time is a flat circle.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but the whole thing with Crazy World is that, you know, it has like a pre-movie sequence where which is clearly filmed sometime after 2019.
Yeah.
Because they're literally talking about COVID and wearing masks and being like, "Oh yeah, it really affected us a lot." And it's like, "Well, I don't know, maybe the version on YouTube that whoever uploaded on YouTube is not the version that screened at TIFF, because if it played at TIFF in 2019 and the pre-movie sequence is from post-COVID, well, it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Yeah, I think that's the best explanation we have. I think they shot a new opening and mid-movie thing for this online film festival that Alberto mentioned.
It's all possible. I mean, Crazy World is this stupid little information available about it, given that it actually played at TIFF. Like, that's the one. There's more information about who killed Cap now. Like, so a movie that barely got released because someone found a DVD behind the sofa. Whatever.
Oh my God! Really? That's how it.
Well, no, but it was like he had deleted it, and then the only reason they were able to put it up for people to see is that someone did have had bought the DVD, and they could rip it back off the DVD. That's why the quality is terrible.
Not that it was great to begin with, I imagine.
But yeah, I think Bad Black also played some festivals.
Yeah, I think they did like a...
They played the Seattle International Film Festival, so... Alright, so that it has done. So that one didn't escape in the same ways, but yeah. So who killed Captain Alex? Accidentally garners them huge success. Alright, here we go. Here's a timeline. Trailer uploaded in 2010 and the full movie uploaded in 2015.
And wasn't it after seeing the trailer that Alan Hoffman went to Uganda to check the guy out?
Yeah, that's what happened. That's the story. He's just like, I gotta talk to this guy.
The Muzunga from all the movies.
Well, is he even in the crazy world?
He's in Bad Black, plays the doctor.
Yeah, I know. That I know.
He was also.
That's where I learned the word Musunga.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's also in Eaten Alive in Uganda, which has yet to get released internationally. I don't even know if it did get a release in Uganda. I know they were like still shooting it at the end of the Once Upon a Time doc. Because they hilariously decided to like have him play like a fat, like, because he gained weight when he returned to Uganda. And they were like, okay, you're going to play like the twin brother of the guy who got eaten. Except he's like overweight. All right, Muzungu.
Yeah.
Yeah, there is one other called Black, which it looks like it stars him from the cover, ironically, being the only person that's not black in any of these movies.
Yeah, a bad black in silhouette.
But that's a movie you can't watch, and so difficult to say if that's just Bad Black, really, under another name.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is, because I was like watching one of the documentaries, and they're like, "Oh yeah, Bad Black," and they show like the cover, and it's this.
Oh.
So, I think this is like another case where. I don't know if you remember the Dominic Vanderberg episode where we had the doorman and the honorable.
Yeah.
Just the same film on like Letterboxd or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, but that probably explains that whole kerfuffle. Yeah.
Can get confusing if you make 50 movies in 10 years.
Yeah, and then
if you're out there and somehow have like a hard drive full of rips of DVDs you bought in Uganda, like, hit us up. I want to watch that shit.
Yeah, pump it into our veins. We will receive it.
Yeah, donate to the Patreon, and we will go on a pilgrimage to Uganda and try to buy DVDs on the street.
Yeah, there's like a movie they did in 2024 called Operation Wakaliga, Fate and Blood, which is like a Israeli co-production.
Starring one Israeli, and that makes it an Israeli co-production,
right? Yeah. And it's got...
Yeah, $20, so he provided half the budget.
He's just a tourist visiting the country. Sure, I'll be in your movie. Here's $20.
Yeah.
All right. Produced by Israel. should mention this is before October 7th, so any moral scruples one might have, don't worry. it's satire on Israel, apparently.
Okay.
But apparently they're working
on
Captain
Alex.
Yeah.
Oh.
We don't know.
Yeah, who killed him?
Nobody knows.
Ooh.
You would think the film would answer the question, but it doesn't. I mean, it's still a great movie, but they could have called it something else, maybe. Just Captain Alex, but it never answers its own damn question.
You know, I mean, there's plenty of great movies where they never answer the mystery. Yeah.
Well, this never even tries to. It's just, it's not left ambiguous. It's just forgotten about.
They're just like, well, whatever happened there?
I mean, I just assume it was just Tiger Mafia killed him.
Yeah, fair enough.
It follows Captain Alex, decorated Ugandan military captain, who's gonna destroy the Tiger Mafia.
Yeah.
And crime boss Richard.
Love how he just
finds out about his brother's death in his living room.
Destroys the TV.
Yeah.
A real Chuck Norris moment.
Well, his brother doesn't die. He gets, like, put in prison.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I want my brother.
Yeah, when I first heard about who killed Captain Alex, I thought it was going to be this, like, trashy, low budget, so bad it's good film that everybody likes ironically because it's a piece of shit. So my expectations were a little different. But when I watched it, you know, this movie has a sense of humor about itself. It knows what it is. Partially thanks to the VJ Emmy Video Joker commentary going over it. But there is some moments of humor in the film. I mean, it knows what it is. It knows that it's a low budget film. And it's very endearing in that way, I think.
I watched it without VJ Emmy, this one.
Oh no.
Why would you do that?
Because that's the only version I could watch ad free.
Oh, okay.
All right, yeah, fair enough. My wife pays for YouTube, so everything is ad free.
Oh. Nice.
But this film, yeah, I think this film compared to the other two films is just firing on all cylinders. Not that the other two are bad, but this film just feels like really Bacallywood at the top of its game. Not that I'm an expert by any means on Ugandan cinema, but this film does feel a few steps up from the other two. I mean, VJ Emmy, top of his game here. He's making all sorts of funny quips that make you laugh out loud. Lots of bloody, bloody action. And the plot is pretty focused compared to the other two that we watched.
Yeah. It's a very good caveat to add at the end there.
Yeah.
Talking about bloody, because I mean, there's one thing. It's like the when they were doing this movie, they started out using real cow blood to do squibs and stuff. But then one of the actors caught Mediterranean fever from like infected cow blood, and they were like, "Oh yeah," and so they stopped doing that.
Yeah, they went straight to food coloring. Like, they should have.
I mean, there is one very good.
A lot of really good CGI.
Yeah. Really good CGI.
Yeah, when they stab the guy in the
just
neck.
Just like stock blood splatters imaginable.
Yeah, when the guy gets stabbed in the neck, that's a good little practical effect.
Oh, yeah, that was unexpected. I did not see that coming. I was actually kind of shocked when I first watched it.
Yeah, that was half the budget.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that, but it looks good.
Yeah, it's they literally made the guns out of scrapyard parts.
Yeah,
they got some great looking guns cuz they're all homemade.
Yeah. The guy who made them is like a whiz. Like, seriously, like the mini gun that he made. I don't know how he did that with just all that. Like, guy's MacGyver.
Just put a few pipes together and it works.
And he's also the lead actor in Crazy World, right? Same guy.
Yeah, he is. He's also in Captain Alex. He's the Russian mercenary. The guy with the...
Russian.
Yeah, yes. Well, yeah. Russian in quotations. Yeah, the sleeveless red shirt guy.
Yes, the black Russian.
Yeah, I think a lot of the actors are repeated here throughout the movies.
Well, it's a village.
I mean, there's even a joke about it at the start in Bad Black that the guy who played Captain Alex is back and then he just gets shot again.
Yeah.
Like, now we know who killed Captain Alex.
It was Swaz.
Yeah, well, and I guess 30 minutes in, Captain Alex gets killed sort of off screen. after he's seduced by the Ugandan Matahari.
Yeah, I've made Captain Alex my bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, beat the rat, which is apparently Ugandan slang for having sex. it comes up a lot in this movie. And so, yeah, so then we're introduced to Bruce Yu. Which I don't think that's his real name. It's the character.
What? Oh, okay.
I feel that's just a VJME joke, but then that's what the character gets called when he returns later.
Yeah, they kind of just went with it.
In another movie, who is Captain Alex's brother, and he's a Shaolin martial artist.
VJME is canon.
Yeah.
Well, he becomes canon. I feel that's a big difference between what separates Who Killed Captain Alex from the rest of these movies. It's like, Who Killed Captain Alex is like genuine... Vark Hollywood completely untouched by the rest of the world, and then Bad Black and Crazy World sort of get more and more meta and more like influenced by the previous reactions to the movies.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason Who Killed Captain Alex is the only one you can watch without VJME, is because people are watching VJME, and then VJME is incorporated from the start in Bad Black and Crazy World. Like, that those movies are sort of made for with like VJME already included, it feels like. Like, in Bad Black, he tells you the plot at the start. You wouldn't even know what's going on if he's not telling you the plot. But at the start of Who Killed Captain Alex, they are telling you the plot as part of the movie, sort of. So yeah. That's the only one that's completely where it feels like you could actually watch it without VJME. If you removed VJME from Bad Black, you'd just be watching half a movie.
they've
literally made him integral to the narrative almost at those points.
Yeah, you'll be like, is he falling in dirty water or is that something else?
But I think it's important to point out that Who Killed Captain Alex still has a sense of humor. There's one scene where, like, one of the officers is starting to, like, tell his men the plan to attack Tiger Mafia's base. He's like, okay, men, prepare, like, pretend like you're paying attention. So I do think there is some humor in Who Killed Captain Alex.
Oh,
so
for sure.
That's just my take.
I mean, the operation to capture Richard's brother is called Operation Cut Tiger Balls.
Yes, that is correct. Yeah.
Also, the German tourists line is like, I'm pretty sure that's not like a VJME joke.
Oh. I don't know.
Save me the head.
They're talking about eating German people.
Yeah, save me the head, like Predator.
Yeah, there's also something in that scene about where they're presenting like the, oh, this is like the best real estate in Uganda or something, and it's like, it's a square of dirt, buddy.
Not even dirt, it's just mud and debris.
Yeah, I think like Captain Alex is like, alright, I'll warn you guys when I use the toilet.
The action scenes I think are pretty good, actually. They're obviously, they have the wildly fake blood spurting achieved through computer effects, but the way that they're edited and choreographed, I mean, they work on a certain level. I mean, they're not realistic at all, but I mean, they're still like fun to watch. I mean, you look forward to seeing the action in this film, and it doesn't really disappoint you.
It's certainly better.
Yeah, I think that's a large part of like why they, after going viral, kind of like stayed, and people wanted to watch them, and the other ones follow. Is that they do clearly understand like the cinematic language of an action scene.
Oh,
fundamentally,
yeah.
The martial arts scenes work, and because I brought this up last year when we watched the South African ones, that there was some South African blaxploitation martial arts films, but I specifically did not recommend them to you because they were fucking terrible.
No,
just kind of just park the camera in a wide shot and then have two people that barely know some martial arts kind of kick at each other for 3 minutes in one interrupted shot, and it's like, yeah, this is shit. This is not how you should make a martial arts fight scene at all.
That's just American cinema in the year 2025.
There's a part in the Once Upon a Time documentary where Nabuana's talking about how Alan does not know how to do martial arts. So they get a stunt double to do white face. And it looks so bad. It's like they put on like a really bad wig. It's so funny.
Oh, that's just great. Like, it reminds me of what's it called? Above the Law, when Yoon Bu is doubling Cynthia Rothrock.
Oh god, I saw that. I saw a clip of that.
He's got a wig.
So cursed.
But that one happens so fast that you barely notice it.
Yeah, if you're like watching the movie and you don't slow it down to like go frame by frame, or just slow it down, like it'll be like, oh, that's a good stunt. Oh, yeah. Wait, that wasn't her?
Yeah, yeah, it's one of those things where like you watch it the first time, you're not looking for it, but then like once you know it, you're like, oh, I can't unsee it now, but. But no, of course, because you're watching the feet, and then it cuts, because that's where they are the ones that are moving and kicking, right? And then, oh, I forgot to look at her hair. Yeah, being able to watch movies outside of the cinema ruined whatever it created the joy enjoyment. You're not supposed to watch stuff over and over again and look for mistakes.
No.
Yeah. This isn't Cinema Sins.
Thank God.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, like, even. And I guess the helicopter scenes, I think, was a huge part of what made this go viral and the trailer go viral. Because
I hadn't seen the film, but I had seen that part.
Yeah. That's like where 150 of those dollars went into the budget of that flying helicopter and bombing some stock footage of Kampala, I guess. There's some still images.
Yeah, truly, we're dealing with Avatar level CGI.
That feels like it. That looks that stuff looks like the Amazing Bulk or whatever.
Yeah, but this has heart. I mean, this is
heart. Well, that it's true. I mean, that's why the Amazing Bulk is kind of like a meme that some people might watch. But again, these movies, people love them. People fucking travel to Uganda to be in these movies. And half of the movies aren't even released.
Yeah. And the whole imagery of the helicopter and all that. I mean, he's basically just, like, taking this terrifying image of his, like, childhood and, like, you know, just putting it all over his movies.
It's childhood trauma.
Yeah, if you, like, really think about it deep. I mean, it's like on the logo for Wakaliwood. It's mm-hmm. just that attack helicopter. Mm-hmm. And, I...
Yeah, for the ending, some of the shots there, he went into Kampala and filmed, like, real riots of a civil war that was breaking out at the time.
Yeah, that's like some pretty stark stuff right there.
Like some the part at the end
had
when
watched the spook who sat by the door.
Yeah, this scene's at the end when there's the martial law breaks out. That's just that's real stuff. Real riots that he went in and filmed. Yeah, I've just been there mentioned that the film uses Kiss from a Rose, like a karaoke backing track from Kiss from a Rose as a theme throughout.
Yeah, and I think an ABBA song.
Yeah, Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I must have missed that. I always sing Kiss from a Rose on karaoke, so
yeah,
I
memorized. They play it during the, you know, you are now watching Captain Alex the Musical.
Yes.
But it is really weird when you have a scene where somebody's sneaking around and you're like, is that ABBA?
The Panther.
The Kiss from a Rose is repeated like 500 times.
Yeah.
The Panther meets the Tiger.
Yes, Vijay Emmy is at the top of his game here.
Bro was not missing. And, yeah, I don't think he was missing in the other two, but, I mean, this one, he's, like, out of this world.
Yeah. It's almost like he's auditioned for the rest of the world. It's just really funny.
Everything else is a victory lap.
Well.
Yeah. And then next they made Bad Black, which, to show you, like, if Captain Alex, who killed Captain Alex, goes viral from a trailer, and they can barely save a copy to be able to watch it. And then Bad Black premieres at Fantastic Fest and plays the Seattle Film Festival. So they got quite popular between those two, I'd say.
Yeah,
maybe though, Crazy World came out first, but like we already discussed, we don't know for sure.
Yeah. Crazy World's got two credits listings, one for 14, one for 19, and the version we watched is clearly released even later at some point.
Yeah, the YouTube version has 2019 in the title.
Yeah, but again, clearly some of the footage is shot later.
Yeah.
I mean, COVID started at the start of 2020.
Yeah.
And that's referenced clearly.
Yeah.
No clue. Yeah, so this one starts in the middle of a bank robbery.
Schwaz.
Which we got Schwaz, the Ugandan Schwarzenegger, and his kid, his assistant, Bud Spencer.
Buddy Spencer.
Yeah.
Who's robbing a bank to save his wife? We learn from Vijay Emmy, thankfully, because
otherwise he's just killing civilians. Yeah.
And he has a Ugandan key with him.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's a hammer. And this bank scene is filmed in Nabuana's living room.
Oh no.
Yeah, because you can watch these with both directors' commentary on YouTube. And he says that to film in a bank, they'd have to go into the city and apply, and then it would take like maybe a year to get a reply from them. Because he just says that people in Uganda don't understand, or businesses in Uganda don't understand movie making. And so he just shot it in his living room. So. I don't. Maybe the computer in the bank is what they edited. Who killed Captain Alex on?
Ooh, cameo.
I don't know. That might be me.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, this one is also then written, produced, and co-starring Alan Hofmanis, the Muzunga, who this guy from New York who was running a film festival of some sort, and then saw the Captain Alex trailer and was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go to Uganda and dedicate my life to
Hollywood.
Whatever this guy's doing looks cool. So I'm in for life now, I guess. Yeah, anyway, he kills Captain Alex. We get the answer. During his escape. And it's like an insane action scene to begin the movie on.
Yeah, I thought he was going to run over his own kid there for a while when he like throws his kid out the window of the car. Also, looked like his leg got run over by the back wheel almost.
No, it's not his kid. It's just a kid.
Oh, just random Buddy Spencer guy? All right.
Yeah, I think I was kept waiting for Buddy Spencer to return and for there to be like a twist, but he really never did.
Okay.
There's plenty of twists.
Good, yeah. There's a very good car special effect, too, like when the car rolls over. That was pretty nice.
Yeah, that was... Yeah.
It's rather impressive, and you see during the credits how they do it with like a miniature car and like their homemade green screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love how Swaz just like shoots up the car and blows himself up.
Yeah. Jesus, I mean, Swaz kills more people in the opening scene of this than almost in the whole of Who Killed Captain Alex.
And they're all like just civilians and cops and stuff like that.
But we love a good body count.
It feels like you're starting it like, he's sympathetic. He's just robbing the bank to save his wife. And it's like, oh yeah, he killed 50 people on the way there. So.
Yeah. Well, what can you do?
And this opening scene is not referenced until like the very end of the movie. I mean, Bad Black, it's fun, but it's just like the story is just a connected of various different plot threads that just barely hold together. Just barely held together by a narrative. And it kind of hurts the film a little bit, but I mean, it's still an enjoyable journey to Uganda if you want that.
Yeah, like I said, like I kept expecting there to be a twist where one of the characters was going to be like adult Buddy Spencer, but it just isn't. He just never returns. Because then we skip, what, like 6 months ahead or something?
Something like that.
To a young girl who watches and then who sees her grandmother's fruit stand knocked over. the rich guy who owns this village, I guess, a lot of beats her friend to death. Yay.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little too dark for a Wakaliwood film.
Yeah, this is like the darkest Wakaliwood film, and that's like coming from like, you know, the next film, Crazy World, which is like about blood sacrifices, children blood sacrifices. Like that one's like a lighter fare kind of movie.
This is that like one actually gets called a kids movie in the open
credits. Yeah, this is like the darker and edgier sort of like follow up.
Yeah. And then after she's in a prison camp for children and kills a guy, we skip 10 years ahead. And now this girl is known as Bad Black, and she leads a gang of criminals.
Yeah, the guy she killed was a commando. And so she hates commandos because the commando killed her friend. Which,
yeah, that's where we meet our doctor. Our Musunga doctor.
Yeah, Musunga.
Alan Hofmanis.
Yeah, the Leon Vitali of Wakaliwood.
Yeah. He's wearing dog tags, but he's not a commando, but his dad was a commando, his mom was a commando, his brother was a commando, and his dog was a commando.
I mean, it's possible. I mean, these dogs in the Special Forces, right?
I've seen a picture of a cat who is a commando.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on the Wakaliwood Facebook page.
Yeah. And then Bad Black steals all his money and his passport because she thinks he's a commando and she hates commandos. And then Wesley Snipes gives him Kung Fu Commando training.
Not the real Wesley Snipes.
No. That would be something.
That's my favorite scene in the film, too. Just him getting tormented.
Yes, Ugandan Schwarzenegger, Ugandan Wesley Snipes, Ugandan Van Damme, apparently, and
Ugandan.
I guess I guess. So he gets trained by this kid so he can go get his stuff back. And he does. And then the evil millionaire has like an idiot son who hangs out with Bad Black and just is high all the time.
Yeah, I should also maybe mention that they found out on a previous production that people in Uganda really loved it when a white guy got beat up in a movie.
Yeah, the white man gets beaten.
And that's why Alan is turned into a shitty commando in this one.
Yeah, just gets his ass whooped by children, chased through the streets. There's like an infant at the end of the mob chasing after him. He's like falling into the poo-poo. He's like, and that's real poo-poo. Yeah, Uganda has poop everywhere.
And it was actual shit.
Yeah, it was. I saw the story.
Yeah.
He's like, well, if I'm going to fall, I'm going to grab this guy with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then what? Bad Black seduces the evil millionaire, but takes him home to her grandma, and then her grandma's like, oh, this guy is your grandfather?
That's a little disturbing.
I don't... It's a real soap opera stuff happening here. Times. I didn't really follow. I forgot the... he is her grandfather, yeah. He's Hirigi, as he's called. He also has hosts in different area codes, it turns out. Many of them.
Maybe they don't even have area codes in Uganda. So everything's free game.
Well, they got bigamy. And he's also into bigamy. Yeah, she goes to jail for a bit, and there's a riot.
Forgot the super integral character of a Superzilla.
Oh, yeah, one of her prison pals.
Yeah, well, first her tormentor and then prison pal. But yeah, that's how it goes. Then there's the big...
Again, is this character named Supercilla, or does VJME nickname her Supercilla, and now that's what she's called? And in case you didn't get it, that's because she's fat. It's a fat woman.
Well,
Supercilla.
Well, I would say Rubenesque. The riot is like a pretty good action scene. It's just that stoned... Now I'm forgetting the name of the character.
Oh, the son?
Yeah, the son.
Oh, Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny.
He's just called Kenny. It's like he's got a stupid normal name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she meets a lady in prison, and she's like, she tells her, oh, don't escape with us during the riots, because you'll be free in 2 days. And then...
Yeah, she's pregnant, right?
No, I don't think she's pregnant. Is she? I think you're confusing this with in the flashback. It is revealed that the lady from the prison is Swash's wife, who was pregnant in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, it could be.
But then, in the flashback, she dies, but we already saw... Or did we see that she was alive? I forgot the timeline of just now.
It's way too confusing.
No, anyway, yeah, it's a real soap opera level plotting on this one. So we learned that Swass is actually Bad Black's father. So there was a relevance to that opening sequence that we forgot about.
Yeah, Bud Spencer, he got the money there in time to save her, even though the doctors, I mean, they got to do the job, you know, unless this is how Uganda works.
Yeah. Well, but then there's a trial at the end, and the movie literally fast forwards to the trial.
Yeah, I love that part.
The scene in the movie.
Then the lady from the prison enters the trial, and then we finally learn that she is Bad Black's mother. Again, I guess. Or Bad Black finally learns it, at least. And then they hug, and the movie just ends. Except, there's a post-credit scene where Bad Black is now working as a nurse for Alan, and then Alan just gets killed.
Yeah. It's a bummer.
Yeah, he gets killed by the grandmother?
No, the wife, the real wife of the guy.
Yeah, that...
Of the rich guy, the bad guy.
There were moments, I think, actually the entire movie, where I thought that the wife and the grandmother were the same person.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. It's not easy to follow.
Yeah. It's my least favorite of the three, but I enjoy it, you know.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit, too. I just wish it was less disjointed. And maybe cut out some of the child abuse, which doesn't really fit in with, like, the lightheartedness of the rest of it.
I think he was, like, trying to do a little social commentary with this one.
Yeah.
Well, he definitely was with Crazy World, which he supposedly made to discourage people from kidnapping his children. Kidnapping children.
Please don't kidnap my children. He was,
the motivation to Crazy World was that he was apparently worried that his children could be kidnapped, and so he made a movie that was like, oh yeah, this is what happens if you kidnap children. Some hobos are gonna come and kill you, or whatever.
I thought the best way to dissuade people from kidnapping children is to just have them spend time with children.
Yeah. Don't kidnap my children, or else I'm gonna wait around for 6 months pretending to be a crazy hobo, and then perform a rescue operation once there's enough children to fight back. What a plan.
Yeah.
It worked, I guess.
Yeah. And so this is the movie that's not available on the Vocaliwood's own YouTube channel.
Or on the Blu-ray.
Or on Blu-ray. So Bad Black and Who Killed Captain Alex was released 6 years ago. I found it earlier today. 14th of January is when they announced the Blu-ray. I don't remember when it was released specifically, but that's when they announced it. And AGFA, the American Genre Film Archive, released a Blu-ray double set of Who Killed Captain Alex and Bad Black called the Vocaliwood Action Volume 1. And I was saying, it's been 6 years. Where's Volume 2? I'm still waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that Crazy World Eaten in Uganda double.
Oh.
Well, maybe they're still holding on for the Who Killed Captain Alex 2 called Racian Machinery or whatever.
they've
announced this like... this was a new title they announced at the start of this year, because there's also Tebatu Sasula Ebola, which is also apparently a direct sequel to Who Killed Captain Alex, and a remake of the first Tibatu Sasula movie that is lost. But again, this movie, was it ever released? You can't watch it anywhere, so who knows?
Yeah, I know the Ebola Hunter costume is like pretty synonymous with Wakaliwood.
Oh.
But I mean, I'd like to see that.
Yeah, they repurpose it in Crazy Worlds, where they have Ebola replaced by piracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
They do use that. Yeah, Crazy World is was fucking crazy. They got that part of the title right.
Yeah, the opening where the world literally blows its brains out.
But it's both difficult to see and not a lot of information. Like, it doesn't even have its own Wikipedia page, and that's weird. Like, it played a TIFF.
No.
Like, this felt like the one that was going to be, like, get a proper release, be big, and then I remember, like, when it won a TIFF, I was like, oh, yeah, fuck yeah, this is going to come everywhere. Like, I'm going to be able to see this at my local film festival next year, because, right, it trickles down, and just, nope. Luckily, if not for the one guy who currently has this one probably illegally uploaded on YouTube, you wouldn't be able to watch it.
I think below the video, the description says that he has permission from somebody.
Oh. Well, I mean, I guess that's IGG. He's a G.
I want all
so
my...
he lets this guy post it.
All
go to the channel.
Should watch the movie.
Alex. It says Tiger Mafia allowed me to post it.
Okay.
So
maybe.
I don't know. I don't know if that was the legitimate claim you were out looking for. But yeah, the Tiger Mafia is back. Richard is gone, and instead we have Big. Is this called Big?
He's called Mr. Big.
Mr. Big.
Uganda's biggest crime boss.
Small.
Yeah, he's literally...
Another movie influenced by Trouble Man.
Yeah, he's literally introduced, like, getting off a motorcycle, like, off the back of one, and he's struggling to even get off of it, and he uses, like, one of his goons as a stepping stool. Because he's got, like, some kind of height, sort of Napoleon complex, I gather.
Yeah, I didn't understand. Is this guy played by, like, a really short adult? Or is it, like, an actual kid sort of made up to look like an adult?
I'm pretty sure it's an adult. Like,
I don't think they have the budget to make anybody up.
Well, fair enough. Man, like, he's wearing a suit, and he was, like, a... really ugly, so he looks kind of like an adult.
Oh, God.
Give me the ugliest child in the village. I need him for my movie.
Yeah, give me the shortest
man. More
of
a... what's it called? Children of the Corn type situation.
Oh, God.
Short adult. Yeah, Tiger Mafia is back, and... they are looking to do blood sacrifices of children because their shoddily built buildings keep collapsing, and the best solution they have is blood sacrifice.
To appease the witch doctor.
And they kidnap the child of Uganda's greatest commando and father. And then, yeah, they shoot his wife, and they shoot him, too.
Well, they also shoot his dad.
No, it's not his dad. It's just a guy driving the scooter, I think. I think you'd... because it's not... he is the greatest commando and the greatest father. It's not... he's the greatest commando, and this is his father.
I thought they said it was his dad. I don't know. We'll have to like go back and like edit this in post.
I thought they were just saying that he was the best father in.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, they definitely say that.
Is this also someone we're introduced to Chopper Lee, the Ugandan Bruce Lee? No, not Bruce Lee, the Ugandan Jet Lee.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought he died at the start here, but then it's I didn't like with the wife at the end of the previous movie. I didn't realize they were the same guy for like all of it. I was like, oh, there's just a hobo who's really great with a gun. Yeah, yeah. And so, oh yeah, it's the same guy.
Yeah, because I think in Fiji Emmy says he went crazy or something.
Yeah.
And then we cut to. I don't know how long later.
We skip 6 months later again, I think.
Yeah, another kid gets kidnapped while playing soccer, well, football with his dad.
And this is Frank? Or is that another kid? I just thought that one of them was called Frank is funny.
Yeah.
Because all the adults have, like, really crazy synapses. It's like, oh, this is Buduabu, the great commando. And then it's like, this is Frank.
So. Regular ass name.
It's normie.
And yeah, and one of them, the kid is played by IG Nabwana's real son, whose name is Newton Isaac.
Named after his father, who was also called Isaac.
Yes, that too. But yeah, and then this dad meets the hobo, who's also the commando. And then there's a lot of riffing and jokes for a while, and there's an action climax.
Yeah, I really love how, like, he has these binoculars, and they're just made out of, like, water bottles. And the other dad, the other dad's just like, what the hell are you doing?
Understandably, I mean.
He's just horrified that this guy is his only hope.
And there's a fun little sketch in there about video piracy, which is probably like the highlight of the entire movie, even though it has like nothing to do with the plot.
Yeah, and Nabwana shows up. He gets arrested by the piracy police.
Yeah. It's a fun little scene.
Yeah, he's just
like the Raiders of the Lost Ark theme playing.
Yeah, he's just like, what are you doing? I'm the director of this movie. It's my movie.
It's a great scene.
And this is where, like, there's footage that's filmed in France, but, like, by fans of the movies sent them in.
Yeah, there's, like, a scene in, like, South Korea, and it's just the host playing in the background. It's just a scene from the host with the monster.
Yeah, because the piracy police have to fly all over the world and stop piracy.
It's like, yeah, like, I think, like, somebody on the radio is like, oh, no, 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 it's not South Korea, it's Japan.
Because the piracy police operates from Uganda.
It starts with Toronto, and then they come in. I don't know, was that Alan Hoffmanis again being kidnapped by the police?
Yeah, just being terrorized.
Yeah. It's a lot of stuff. A lot of comedy in this one compared to the other ones, I feel. They're really leaning heavily into it.
I was just going to say, there appear to be a lot of practical blood effects in this one, too, which I liked.
Yeah,
they finally figured out how to not give their actors Mediterranean fever. They could use them.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think in terms of action, like the climax of this is easily the best thing they put together.
Yeah, I think this is like the most recent film that of theirs that has been released.
It certainly is the most recent that's been released because it was released in 2019 compared to 2016. But yeah, just with like a, I don't know, another fake shotgun, but it's just shooting up this camp, and it's got like real squibs, and shoots a lady in the tits and beat them. He goes like, "Ah, national treasures."
Well, for the most part, I thought VJ Emmy was kind of on autopilot for this one. I don't know. I didn't think he was like having as good as quips as he had in Who Killed Captain Alex, for example. So I didn't really like. This is probably my least favorite of the three. Not bad, but a little autopilot-y at times, with the exception of like some of the sketches and the blood effects and the action.
It is the one where I felt like it kind of not a lot. It was like one that had like a proper, like almost like a 20-minute bulk where I felt like nothing really happened.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Before the climax kicked in. But then, of course, we get the climax, the return of Bruce Yu. So finally, who I gotta say, you looked a lot sharper in 2010, Bruce.
I forgot
not,
to
your,
like
your fights. They're not great. They're not great in 2019. Sorry to say.
Or rather, 2014.
Whenever they were.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, yeah. We don't know when they shot what scenes. If at all.
Yeah, because then it flashes back to the other two movies and shows you, oh yeah, this was his part in Captain Alex, and this was where he was in Bad Black, and then again it references the return of Uncle Benin, which please stop telling me about this movie that I can't see that, just. Where can I see this? Like, release this stuff.
Yeah, I'm just the Kevin Garnett meme where he's like, "Why the fuck would you sell me this if I can't have it?" It's just like, you know, it looks good. I want to watch that.
Yeah, it's like when they do it in Captain Alex again, it feels like, okay, like here you're teasing like actual movies that you are planning or shooting. But then when you're teasing the same movies 9 years later, and you haven't let me yet, and I can't fucking see any of them yet. Like, what's up here? Like, I understand you have civil wars and floods and COVID was shit and whatever, but where's the movies? I'm promising a lot of movies.
The movies are coming, right? You know, this is the year. This is the year that, you know, we're gonna get so many Hollywood films. We're gonna be begging for them to stop coming.
Oh.
I'm not gonna argue with that part.
So tell us what you really think about these films, Marty.
Oh man.
Oh boy.
I've been really trying not to sour the mood, but. I did not like these at all.
Okay.
I watched Captain Alex first and I was like, I can see the charm of it. I mean, I get why people would like that, but no, not for me. It has no sense of characters. The story is a fucking mess. Scenes just happen whenever, wherever. fight scenes between two people, sometimes you don't see one of them. Like, the framing is bad, the editing is bad. And I get all the restraints they had while they were making them, but no. And then the other ones, they get self-aware, you know.
Oh.
So bad they're good movies can only be so bad they're good if they're made sort of like to be actually good.
So that's a fair enough point, yeah.
Yeah. I was dreading my second day of viewing.
Oh god! That
I think Crazy World might just be the best one, but I was so done with them at that point. I just want this to be over.
The key is to watch them at moderation. Cause
yeah,
I mean you watch them like back to back. It's like, whoa, this is like a lot.
They start to blend together.
That too.
Yeah, they definitely did that for me. I mean, I watched all three of them at the same day during a road trip. I watched all of these. So just back to back to back. So definitely there's like parts where I'm like, was this in Bad Black or was that in Crazy World? Not 100%.
Yeah. And so much weird shit just happens for no reason that it might as well just have happened in one of the other movies.
It feels like a feature-length YouTube poop.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean that, like, the most positive way I can imaginably say it. And that, I completely understand why someone wouldn't like this. I sympathize with you, Marty. I do. It's like...
Thank you.
It's definitely a niche film to be into. But, you know, we are the freaks. You know, we're freaky, you know, and proud of it. Yeah, that sounded wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, I was actually like, oh my god, I just wish I was watching Birdemic right now. So much better.
Oh god. Hey, please.
Birdemic
no.
is a good movie. I like that one.
Yeah. Oh god.
Okay, this got more value than Birdemic.
Oh god.
Oh yeah.
Not for me.
I had one question to ask about Captain Alex. And
who killed Captain Alex?
Well,
is that your question?
Well, not that, but well, I was gonna get to that, but did Bruce Yu die at the end? Because he gets his ass whooped by the Tiger Mafia. Like you think he's like gonna like whoop their asses, and they completely clobber him, and like the helicopter blows up the base, and he's still inside the building.
I mean, difficult to say. Apparently there is a Bruce Yu solo movie supposedly out there somewhere.
Yeah, I
or
saw
it
that
was,
they...
was on DVD at some point, but
yeah, the documentary has footage of Ibuana in China.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, I saw that. I want to see that. Please.
I said Ibuana, I mean Nabuana.
No.
Yeah.
This episode's just us like being like, please, we want to watch these movies.
Yeah, and fuck these movies we watched. Let us watch these movies we can't watch.
Yeah. And me silently going, no, please, no.
Yeah, yeah. we're gonna do a
never again,
volume two
never
episode.
Never again. Never forget who killed Captain Alex.
Yeah, we're gonna do a sequel episode. It's gonna be Who Killed Captain Alex 2. The Return of Uncle Ben.
Kill harder. Oh.
and
your Ivory Trap DVD is finally gonna.
Yeah, Ivory Trap and
finally gonna arrive.
Capitano.
And we can
now the tariffs.
We can find. Well, it ships from the U.S. now.
Oh, that's yeah. right now. Yeah. Okay. Well, no tariffs there, yet.
Well, Trump put on tariffs on imports from Uganda because the U.S. is importing a lot yeah. from Uganda.
It's a huge threat to Hollywood, these Ugandan films, so you need to tariff them real high.
Well, I say send John Voight down to Bacollywood and we can have some collaboration.
That I would right watch. In.
Yeah.
As long as he tries to do an accent.
Yeah. Let's get Anaconda John Voight.
Oops.
Yeah.
You know, you think you got this whole fake figure at them? Let me tell you. He's just making all these like facial movements like he's like supposed to be Hispanic. It's so
messed up. Hispanic facial movements.
He's supposed to be Cajun, right? In that one.
Yeah. Just look at that.
I don't even know if he knows what he's supposed to be in that.
I don't know either, man. He's like ambiguously like
ethnic.
Yeah, he might just be a white guy who thinks he's Hispanic.
Yeah, and the movie better feature lots of close-ups of his mouth while he's eating.
Yeah, just have him say, hey, I got a boner here.
Yeah.
A little Metropolis reference for all those freaks out there.
Yeah.
Best film of
2024. We could get Mel Gibson making Braveheart 2 down in Wakaliwood.
Oh yeah!
You can do instead of half blue face, you can do half black face.
Oh god!
That'd be great.
Mel Gibson as Idi Amin would work.
Oh.
Oh man!
Now that would be the ultimate redemption. just have him go to Wakaliwood.
I'll finally take away your freedom. Oh, that'd be good.
Passion of the Christ 2 featuring Bruce Yu. I think that the crossover potential here is enormous.
peak cinema.
Could call it like who killed Jesus?
Who killed Captain Jesus? That'd be good.
Who killed Jesus? Was it the Romans or?
I know Mel Gibson has an opinion on who did it. Yeah, well, but so that's it, I guess. These three movies, you can watch Captain Alex and Bad Black on YouTube, with either WeJ Emmy riffing on it or with director's commentary on both.
On the director's official Wakali Woods YouTube channel.
Yes, uploaded by IGG himself. And you can, for now, watch Crazy World on a YouTube channel that the Tiger Mafia has approved.
Yeah.
It's called Alex Please, this channel. I will link the Wakaliwood channel in the description, but I will not link this one. You have to go search that up in YouTube yourself. Crazy World 2019 full movie. I'm sure it will be easy to find. And yeah, the Captain Alex and Blad Black also on Blu-ray still?
Yeah.
Is that one still in circulation? It's not.
I mean, it says on the website.
Well, that'll do it. also, from AGFA in... I think it was yeah. I don't know. They re-released it with a new slipcover, of course, because it's a fucking Vinegar Syndrome partner label. Yeah, so.
I'm not doing that. I already got it. I got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I bought the original too, so I'm not. I don't need. I'm not paying $30 for a new slipcover. That's what they did, of course. Yeah, they said like, oh yeah, it's going out of print, and then it's like, haha, it's not out of print. It's back with a new slipcover.
I'm about to whoop some ass if they do that shit again.
And I think it's out of there in the US from AGFA, but I think it's also out in the UK from 101. They have a collaboration with AGFA actually. So if you're in Europe and you want to pay significantly less for AGFA titles, it's very possible to do so. Because they cost £15 each at from 101 Films. And that's a lot less than the $30 they cost when you buy them from Vinegar Syndrome. So you can jump on that if you want to watch these movies. You can watch them again. You can watch them legally on their own YouTube channel. They upload everything to YouTube. The DVD is just for fun. I don't know. Still no Volume 2. When they release Volume 2, we'll be back with another episode. Unless Volume 2 turns out to just be Bad Black. No, fucking Crazy World. That's the one I released. They're shooting Captain Alex 2 now, they say, all the time, really. But maybe you can support them on Patreon. They used to do Kickstarters, but they stopped that doing those. Now you can just support them on Patreon. They haven't updated anything on their Patreon since 2023, but they post on Facebook. So you can follow them on Facebook if you haven't escaped that hell site yet. and you can follow them there on... It's called like... Wakaliwood and Ramon Films, or Ramon Film Production and Wakaliwood, pretty sure that's not VJ Emmy, IGG himself posting there, and their last update was January 11th, when, as Marty said, they posted a picture of a very dirty cat. Which is not a euphemism, as we've learned, because in Uganda, they call it a rat.
Yeah.
Yeah, So we'll see when a year in next year for some more obscure regional African cinema, maybe, or maybe we have to branch out to obscure, I don't know, Caribbean cinema.
Oh, I was hoping you were going to say like Asian black exploitation.
If I can find it, I mean, I would love to do Australian black exploitation, but as far as I can tell, there isn't any. Yeah, these are possible topics you can look forward to hearing about in a year's time.
Yeah.
Next week, you'll hear about something else.
Dolomite and the Human Tornado.
Double Dolomite. Rudy Ray Moore. And meanwhile, you can find us at alloutofbubblegum.com. And there you'll find links to both the Discord you can join or the Patreon, where you can help fund our pilgrimage to go to Uganda and buy bootleg DVDs of Uncle Benin Returns. I guess that's it. Bye for now.
Alright, bye.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye.
This is Captain Alex, Uganda's best soldier. Only Alex can stop the mafias and keep them forever. Will you marry me? I prefer men. What? No! Come back! We love you, we love you! I love it, part of Africa. I want dancing cows, beautiful cows. And here, we'll build football pitch and make German food. German food? Yes, we found German tourists. We cooked them. Wow, very, 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 very good. Delicious. So with the head. Like predator. So jealous. But they are surrounded by the enemy. Sing Don Patton. We love Don Patton. Are you crazy? That's my wife. Get out, my wife. Wife? I thought that is a god. Hello? Combat, Captain Alex. Who are you? Now you're gonna see, this is how we do action in Uganda. The Ugandan commando. Who killed Captain Alex is the movie. Production in action. Tiger Mafia. The most deadliest gun in Uganda. They walk slow. Because they think slow. Slow but sure. Mafios. He's on the Commandos! Deadly Commandos! Tiger Mafia! Super Kicker! What's happening? Around! Movie! Jesus! Commando! You are watching Who Killed Captain Alex? The first VJ in English ever. This is how we do movies in Uganda. And now, Captain Alex, the musical. This music is good.
Commando.
Action is coming. What the heck? This is serious. Everybody in Uganda knows Kung Fu. The movie's on. The movie's on. The movie's on. The tiger is in the cage. Hello? Super Fighter. Action party movie. Kampala, Uganda. This is Swaz. Swaz means Swazinika. In Uganda. Swaz is a good man. His wife is in the hospital. She's dying. Raka!
Raka Swaz!
He has a gun! I have a key! Ugandan key! Hey! This is Captain Alex! He's alive! Captain Alex is alive! He's dead. Captain Alex is so dead. Who killed Captain Alex? Swaz Raka. Now you're gonna meet.
Okay, you're good.
From New York to Uganda, America's best action star, Alan Sally, Museyo Kabaka, America's Vanda, here in Uganda, because his wife kicked him. Is he dead? Oh, this is Uganda. I thought he's dead. Hello, Daddy Musungu, Kung Fu Master. of love. Ugandan women, they are beautiful, but deadly. The other girlfriends. This is getting good. What an asshole. Bad black. Uganda's best worst thief.
How can you train me? I'm a doctor. I don't know anything.
First lesson. What the hell? Forget your wife in America. She hates you. That's my friend was poo-poo. For real. This is Uganda. Poo-poo everywhere.